Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by VBS Radio, its staff, or management, and represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you, after much research on each subject. To learn more about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarley.com, drcarley.com, and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I went from being a surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases and cancer to teach them how to reverse these problems with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and do everything based on history alone. I do not need to see you in person. Please call me at the number on my website if you would like to learn how I do consults. I ask each of you to consider the information my guests and I share with you every week using your own God-given common sense and discern the truth for yourself. I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in toll-free at 877-270-8714. The toll-free number for Canada is 888-228-4494. The numbers are on the website, so if you want to call, you can check that out. Every week I will answer the question, what is ailing America, with a different response, as well as doing shows about what's healing America as well to share the good news of what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have realized that inoculations are the true weapons of mass destruction and that the true healing capabilities have been kept from us by the medical mafia and big pharma, together we will be able to bring healing at all levels to people and pets. If you don't stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. So be uplifted as the weak-willed puppets of darkness are being made visible to the public eye through shows such as this, and the once feeble calls for cease and desist are now turning into a roaring outcry. Okay, I'm very pleased to have as my special guest tonight, Granny Earth. So we're going to be discussing what's healing America tonight, and the answer tonight is going to be weed medicine. Granny Earth is a 67-year-old naturopath who is following her lifelong passion of natural healing and teaching others about weed medicine and the journey in. Always having a love for Mother Nature, she legally changed her name to Granny Earth in 2002. After raising three children single-handedly and working as a real estate salesperson for 20 years, Granny went back to college at the age of 54, God bless you, Granny, and obtained her bachelor degree in psychology. This followed with a master's in natural health and a PhD in naturopathy, a word, by the way, I never learned in medical school. If there's a message that Granny wants to convey, it's we're never too old to learn, and nature heals. So thank you very much for being on the show tonight, Granny.
Thank you for having me, Rebecca.
Well, I first, before we get into your excellent books, let me just say that Granny has three wonderful books, Healthy Recipes from Granny's Cupboard, Do-It-Yourself Weed Medicine, and The Journey In is the new book, correct?
That's right.
And I'm looking forward to getting that one. I don't have that one yet. The Journey in Triad of Transformation. I'll be ordering that immediately. I have the other two, which are excellent, and we'll be discussing those. But before we get to that, I just wanted to have Granny discuss with myself, because in her book, Do-It-Yourself Weed Medicine, see, I expected to go into this book, Granny, and just find out about weeds, but You've got some real good stuff in here about the medical mafia. As a matter of fact, I just want to read, let's see, I have it marked here, a couple of the really good quotes that you have. From Voltaire in 1694 to 1778, doctors are those who prescribe medicines of which they know little, to cure disease of which they know less, in human beings of whom they know nothing. I mean, if that doesn't say it all, I don't know what does.
That's right. That says it all, doesn't it?
And, of course, one of the other good ones by Herophilus is, when health is absent, wisdom cannot reveal itself, art cannot manifest, strength cannot fight, wealth becomes useless, and intelligence cannot be applied. And, you know, Granny, that kind of makes me wonder if maybe people are being made sick on purpose. I mean, I know I've been called a conspiracy theorist, but all those statements are true. And how are people going to get up off the couch and do something about what's happening in our world if they don't have their health?
They can't.
Exactly.
They cannot get up and fight these atrocities if they're sick and their whole family is consumed with taking care of the people in it who are ill.
Exactly.
Okay, and so it really disables people, and then those who are in control can continue without too much of a battle.
And that's definitely what they're trying to do. But people like us are changing all of that. And Granny was a guest on our show, in the beginning of the show that I did with Maria Heller a couple of weeks ago. But I want to just talk again about what happened with us with this Pennsylvania Natural Living Conference. Thanks to Granny Earth, I was made aware, actually at the last minute, that the promoters of this conference, of which I was supposed to be the keynote speaker talking about inoculations, the true weapons of mass destruction, were not only promoting vaccine clinics, but their medical minion that was you know, advising them had actually worked for military intelligence. And I found this quite, you know, disturbing. His name is Dr. Joseph Marone. And so I'm very grateful to Granny for letting me know about that. And both of us withdrew from the conference because of this raging hypocrisy. I mean, how can you possibly go and speak about inoculations knowing that the promoters of the conference are actually running vaccine clinics?
Exactly. And I'm so glad that you resigned. Also, it really sent a message. You were their keynote speaker. I was just doing a workshop, and I was glad to be there, make a couple bucks, talk to a few people. But when you resigned, it sent a very a bigger message. And I do understand from some people who were there that the conference was a flop, and I didn't wish that on Pamela. But in hindsight, they had to have known what they were getting into with the promoters. There's no way they could have known. And so things do have a way of working out for good.
Yes, they certainly do. And, and that brings me to another topic I want to just discuss for a few minutes before we get into your excellent book, Weed Medicine. That's my favorite. And that is, people have to be aware of what's going on in terms of, because it's the same thing that happened with PANLA, how many people and groups now that pretend that they're interested in, quote-unquote, alternative medicine or natural healing or supplements or whatever are actually working for the other side. And I was made aware of this by a very, in terms of the supplements, this was a real shocker to me. One of the articles that you had written that you sent to me, that there's only 7 companies that manufacture vitamins in the United States. And let me list those companies. Pfizer Chemicals, Henkel Corporation Fine Chemicals Division, Takeda Chemical Industries, Roche Chemical Division of Hoffman LaRoche, Archer Daniels Midland Corporation, Chemicals Division of the BASF Wyandotte Corporation, and Eastern Chemical Company. Now, isn't it kind of obvious, Granny, that they know that the Americans and actually people all over the world are spending billions of dollars on supplements to make themselves well.
Mm-hmm.
And so apparently they're getting involved in these productions because not only do they want a piece of the pie, but they want to make sure that the supplements are tainted with petroleum-based solvents and have all kinds of other things in them.
Mm-hmm.
I would really appreciate it if you would explain to the listeners, because this was a real eye-opener for me, why it's so important to use things from nature, and that's what your book, Weed Medicine, is all about.
Yes, well, in my timeline, in the book, page 55, I think it is, 1993, which is my last date in there, sales of herbal products in the United States rose 70%. So they've been watching these sales increase. And my daughter owns an herb shop in this area, and she was approached by someone to buy her out, as my son was in Michigan. So they've been scooping up little herb companies here and there, and I don't know which ones they own now, but I know GNC was bought out by a financial corporation several years ago. They've been buying up these companies,
yes.
And so they've infiltrated, and yes, now I quit taking supplements in January after I learned about this. The base products in supplements then are made by these chemical companies, and there's no way that I want to put anything in my body that comes from a chemical company. So I believed long before that in weeds, but it really hit me this past January. And so it just reinforces me more that Mother Nature has put everything out there growing that we need to heal our bodies. And even beyond that, then, of course, the next book goes into even in within our body is the wisdom to heal our body.
Yes.
Even beyond the weeds, the same energy runs in the weeds that runs in our bodies, that runs in all the planets, that runs everywhere.
Exactly. And one of the amazing things I read in your book, Weed Medicine, was where you were actually talking about how obviously there's different weeds in different parts of the country, and the Creator has put the weeds that the people need in those areas,
Exactly.
That's fascinating.
So all you have to do is basically walk out in your yard or in a woodsy area. I mean, just every day, practically, I get to show people a weed. I showed lately around here in Pennsylvania, there's a weed growing called Joe Pye weed, and it's real tall and it's real purple. And next to that, then, is goldenrod. Well, these are two excellent urinary tract weeds, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a funny thing. If you have a yard and a weed is growing and it seems to be taking over and you can't get rid of it, it just keeps coming back, research that weed, because chances are divine wisdom has put that there because that's exactly what you need.
You need to eat it, yes. And I want to just mention Andra, who shows after this. Please make sure you stay tuned to her show, folks. Her husband, Rick, who's often a guest on her show, told me something amazing, and let me run this by you, Granny, that in fact there's actually a weed that grows near poison ivy, which will actually treat poison ivy. I don't know what the name of it is, though.
It is jewelweed.
Okay.
Jewelweed has a, it's about, oh, I'd say it averages 2 to 3 foot tall, and it has a little beautiful little orange flower. We used to call it like a jack in a pulpit type. It looks like a little pointy cap turned upside down. And the stem of jewelweed, if you break it open, it's very watery and mucilage. And if you rub that on your poison ivy, that is the cure for poison ivy.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
How did you learn so much about weed?
I call it my obsessive weed compassion. let's see, in 1994, I had just started back to school, maybe it was 95, and I really wasn't into weeds and herbs that much, but I had a sore throat that wouldn't go away, and my son in Michigan, he's been into weeds for a long time, and he sent me some echinacea tincture. And I had not even heard of echinacea, but I put a drop or two down my throat, And this is not usually how that works. Echinacea is an immune booster. But instantly it took my sore throat away, and it got my interest. And I planted echinacea, and I started researching. And in those days, I got a lot of books, and I'd go out every summer. I was determined to identify at least 10 weeds. And I would take my books out, and I would pick them and bring them back and research. And it was just like an obsession with me.
Well, I want to just I want to talk more about specific weeds, because I'm sure our listeners would want to hear about that. But before we do, I want to tell the listeners that you really need to get this book, Weed Medicine from Granny Earth, because not only does she have many different weeds in here, but she's also got a history of natural healing as well as a history of what started happening with the medical mafia and how they basically pushed natural healing out of the medical schools. And she has written a lot about vaccinations. I was very happy to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to how different groups are being infiltrated and such, one of the things that you mentioned on page 67 is Dirk Pearson and Sandy Shaw of Life Extension and how they got in a battle for freedom with the FDA. And I was in my local health food store recently, and I happened to pick up their latest September 2000 edition. And the front page, the cover of Life Extension says, life-saving cancer drugs rejected by the FDA. And there's many different articles in here. One of them is FDA rejects promising prostate cancer drug. Let's see, I have them tagged here. What you can do to stop needless cancer deaths. Of course, there's nothing mentioning natural supplements in here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what's the next one? Life-saving cancer drugs not approved by the FDA. And the last one that I targeted was the Abigail Alliance, which is seeking to have legislation passed that will remove regulatory barriers currently preventing seriously ill patients from gaining early access to developmental drugs, showing efficacy in clinical trials. Now, the person that's now in charge of the FDA is actually trying to push drugs to go through the fast track as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here we have Life Extension wanting to fast track drugs even faster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any mention in here about Codex, you see. Codex, for the listeners that don't know, is the legislation that the criminals and the District of Criminals are trying to pass in order to prevent us from being able to get supplements without a prescription. So it's truly amazing to me how Life Extension has, their whole board is pretty much medical doctors, and they've pretty much gotten away from the natural things. They do promote a few supplements in there, but now they're actually saying that the FDA is bad because they're not fast-tracking drugs fast enough.
Isn't that interesting?
It's pretty sickening, actually.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I checked out their site just real quick,
mm-hmm.
and they are selling quote-unquote supplements, okay? So they're into the promoting of the supplements, which I think most people still believe that, if they're into natural health, they think supplements are good. They can't get it in their head that these supplements are being put together by chemical companies, which are controlled by the pharmaceutical companies. It's
yes.
just too hard for them to believe.
Well, I know that there are a few companies that haven't been corrupted yet,
mm-hmm.
but all I can say between that information that you gave me, the actual companies involved, and I've been telling my clients for years not to go into franchise operations
right.
like the Vitamin Shoppe and places like that,
mm-hmm.
because you know the chances are that their supplements have been tainted in some way. I know that in England, one thing that they're doing is they're radiating herbs and doing
mm-hmm.
things like that. To intentionally decrease their potency.
Exactly.
And, of course, I also just want to mention quickly Dr. Andrew Weil, because he's one, this man, everybody knows of Dr. Weil, you know, he's supposed to be the natural doctor. He's on the mainstream media. And I just got an email recently telling me that he's in the, let's see, it's one of the issues of the American Associations of Retired Persons. Actually promoting vaccinations and saying how his whole family's been vaccinated and he keeps current on his vaccinations. So you can take all the herbs and supplements you want, but if you're going to keep getting vaccinated, you know, of course, you're not going to be able to get rid of your diseases because, as my information explains, inoculations corrupt the immune system, leading to all autoimmune diseases and cancer. But, Granny, this makes your book even more important, not only the information you're giving us about the supplements, but with Codex looming, wouldn't it be funny if all of us could go in our backyards and find weeds?
Well, not only, yes, weeds for medicine and weeds for food.
Yes.
Because our food, in the, I call them the poison store, you just look on your labels and there's very little that I can eat in a store that comes from the grocery store.
Yeah.
And so there are many roots out there. There are many things. We need to get back to learn what nature is supplying us, and even juice. If you don't like the taste, you don't have the time, juice them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And get back to as much natural as you can, because we're being poisoned through the pharmaceutical drugs, of course, when people run to their god doctor, but we're also being poisoned by the way of food. And I think it was, let's see, this man's name, I can't remember it right now, it'll come to me. He said, control the food and you control the people.
Exactly.
And it was that Henry Kissinger.
Ah, one of my favorite people now.
Yeah.
Right.
Gotta love him, huh?
Right. Well, he's also the man that went in front of Congress and said how it was a national security issue to decrease the population. So
right.
It's quite obvious what's going on. And, of course, they're tainting the food in so many ways. We've got the genetically modified organisms being put in different plants. We have the agri-farms creating these monsters. I mean, between the pesticides they're slathering on them and the antibiotics they're
mm-hmm.
giving them and the way that they're slaughtering them, it's just a horror show.
Well, you know, I get into these conversations quite often, almost every day, with people I meet. And I did have an article, and I don't know which, if it was in one of those newsletters I sent to you, but I think we ought to all be working towards becoming breatharians.
Okay, that you didn't send me. A breatharian means somebody who just lives off their breath, correct?
Breath and sunlight.
Wow.
And walking on the earth, and it's very interesting. Now, a lot of people think I'm joking about that, but I think as time goes on, and this thing will get worse, if it doesn't get better, it's going to get worse,
mm-hmm.
And they are bent on destroying, eliminating 4 billion human beings, and I'm not sure the year, whether it's 2100 or maybe even 2050, but they've got their goal set, and it's happening.
Yeah.
I sent you that thing from, that printout from Death by Medicine.
Oh, yeah.
With that quote in there from Dr., I guess you say, Leapy. It was in the Journal of American Medical Association in 1994. And so the medical monopoly is now killing 783,936,000 people a year. In 10 years, that'll be almost 8 million people.
But that's just what they're admitting.
That's just what they're admitting, right.
Yeah. That's just the death by prescription drug errors and overdoses and giving the wrong drugs and things of that nature. You see, the problem is, especially with the inoculations, the way they work, it's like a ticking time bomb. It can take up to 30 years for your immune system to be corrupted
sure.
enough for you to die. So
right.
it's not like people are dropping like flies, although that number is huge. And I had read someplace that's the equivalent of like a 737 crashing every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And where's the news stories about that, as I laughingly asked that question, because, of course, the mainstream media is controlled by the same group that's controlling everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I definitely agree with you. The ultimate would be to be a breatharian. I know of a few people that have gone on 40-day fast,
mm-hmm.
Drinking only water. But, you know, in order to be a breatharian, of course, you have to have clean air to breathe. And
yes.
That's one of the problems.
Correct. That is one of the problems with the chemtrails that are being dropped on us all the time, and God knows what else, of depleted uranium and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't have clean air. So is there an answer? And that's when my new book comes in, and I was guided to write that because, yes, weeds are wonderful, but, you know, with the genetically modified seeds, you know, that's going to infest all vegetation eventually.
Yeah.
It's already hurting our bee population, and that's a whole nother story. I believe we need to learn how to transcend this evil and spiritually, if you, for lack of a better word, energetically.
Well, okay. I have to say I totally agree with you, and sometimes as I listen to myself speak, I can almost see people in their homes cringing out of fear, and I want people to realize there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to fear but fear itself.
Mm-hmm.
You see, once you realize that all these things are being done intentionally, mm-hmm. then, of course, you have to also realize that the reversal is out there, the cure is out there mm-hmm. for all of these ills, and I am convinced that eventually, once the evil ones have had a light shown on them, they're going to go running like roaches. Perhaps they'll get on some of those space shuttles they keep sending off and go
right.
infect another planet.
Yes.
But it's not a matter of living in fear, and that's been one of the greatest gifts that I've been given as I've been walking this walk for about 10 years now, is that I am not afraid. I have no fear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing my mission, which is to stop the inoculation holocaust. That's my personal mission.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really quite amazing what happens when you lose your fear and you get in touch with your spirituality and you start to realize that we are all one. And just like you said, that was so important, Granny, that in fact that we have the information within us. We just
mm-hmm.
have to access us.
Mm-hmm.
Access it. And if you could just talk a little bit about that, since I don't have the book yet, but I think that's one of the most important messages that people need to hear.
Well, I was called to write this little book, and I've changed the name a few times and edited it a few times, but we finally got it hot off the press, 10 copies the other day. It's called The Journey In, capital I-N, subtitled Triad of Transformation. Now, it's like a triangle, okay? And if you look, picture a triangle, and in the bottom left-hand corner is acceptance. Up at the top is surrender, and down in the other corner is gratitude. And I think that's, and this is about my journey, and I put it out there for other people to try it, try what I've done. I think if we accept everything as it is, according to divine wisdom, for the lessons we need to learn, and quit fighting everything. You know, we fight when we're afraid, we fight. And I see so many people within the Freedom Health Movement, and they're fighting, and now they're fighting among each other, and now they're getting sick, their bodies are showing signs of illness. Well, I believe we need to go inside and heal the battle within. Things that we came here with from a previous life, at least this is my, what's been shown to me. So we accept everything as it is, quit fighting, and then we go into surrender. We surrender everything to divinity. And in a big picture of everything, and I'm saying in the whole universe of all, everything that's there, I had to admit that I know nothing.
Yeah.
And it was in the space of knowing nothing that I was guided to go into my body, breathe in to the solar plexus area, which I call the stuckness, go into there and surrender and allow divine wisdom to show me what it had to show me. And
wow.
It's amazing. And then, of course, gratitude. On the other one is gratitude. And just to be grateful and not concentrate on what you don't have, and not concentrate on the bad and the fear and all that's going on, but be grateful and share what you've learned with other people. There's a big need to educate other people.
Yeah.
And so as we educate them, and then they want answers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have no answers for anybody else. I only have what has come to me, see, and you know how that works. But maybe my answers can help somebody else with what they're struggling with now.
Well, especially when you're teaching them that what they need to do with go is go within. And I love that you know, presented that triangle because I can, you know, compare that to my own life
mm-hmm.
in terms of accepting you know, there's been a lot of things that have happened to me. The medical mafia did not like it when I stepped out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of surrendering to that instead of fighting in courts, you know, I fought in courts for years trying to get my son back. I went as high as the United States Supreme Court. And
right.
finally I just said, you know, I have to do my mission. I have to do my work. I have to just let it all go and know that the universe has a plan and that, you know, something good is going to come out of every part of this. Everything
that's right.
which happens, something good is going to come out of it. And to be grateful. And, see, that's something that people oftentimes can't understand.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell them, I don't regret anything that's happened to me because
mm-hmm.
every single thing that has happened to me has taught me something.
Exactly.
And it's made me who I am today. And
mm-hmm.
if you can reach that point where you can get to the grateful level, where you can actually be grateful, like you said, for what you have,
mm-hmm.
more comes to you. I'm finding so many people of like mind. It's such a gift. And more knowledge especially. That's the important thing because the doorways open up. It's unbelievable. You know, when you meditate in prayer,
mm-hmm.
pray every day, the first thing I say when I'm going for a walk is, thank you, God, for meeting all of my needs according to your riches and glory.
Right.
And that's how I try to think through the day. Of course, sometimes it gets a little frustrating.
Uh-huh.
But you try your best to maintain that attitude, and it's amazing what happens.
Totally amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
I love the quote by Mark Nepo, and you'll see I designed a little logo to go with it, but it says, the buried seed cracks open in the darkness the instant it surrenders to a process it cannot see. So when we surrender, we somehow get into another realm where then we're shown things that we normally couldn't see if we're still holding on and resisting, see? And I just think... Yes, the people that come into our lives, it's totally amazing, but I can stand back now and not get pulled into their drama. I can watch it and allow it, but not get attached to anything. Okay?
Exactly.
Exactly. And that's an amazing place to be, and I'm grateful for that, and I spend a lot of time, and I'm grateful that I have the time, lying down, going in and looking and letting divine wisdom show me the next level.
Because
we carry, it's levels after levels, I believe, and it makes sense to me that we carry with us into this lifetime things from the last life, other lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And what to me, what has come to me, I carried rejection, abandonment, and betrayal. And, of course, beneath them were the fear and the shame, see?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think that's what causes a lot of humans to be angry and fearful and have all these, quirky things that they hold on to, control issues and just all that.
Exactly.
All that dark stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's been, my writing is something that I kind of had to do. I was pushed to do it. And each book comes to me and I'm guided what to write. And then the book is birthed. and so then other people can share. And thank God I'm not the only one doing this. There's a lot of books out there now.
Yes, well, I have to say I totally understand what you're talking about because that's exactly what's been happening with me.
Mm-hmm.
The documents on my website, especially the diagrams I wrote, which explain the cause of all disease on one sheet of paper, and the paper inoculations, the true weapons of mass destruction, as well as my response to the CDC.
Uh-huh.
All of those were written like within 3-4 hours.
Wow.
And it wasn't even me writing it. I don't take any credit for it. It
right.
just came through me.
Uh-huh.
And that is such an amazing experience to know that you're being guided, you know, that there's higher realms, angels, whatever you want to call them. You know,
uh-huh.
there's many benevolent beings that want us to be okay, and they're sharing information that we need to know. And
right.
I just want to mention something else in terms of what you were saying about the drama and things of that nature. I had done a show with Andra, What's Ailing America, Toxic Relationships, on June 7th. I suggest all of you check that out in the archives. And that is something very important for people to realize, because there are so many people in our lives now, and I'm finding this in many families, there will be, you know, one person who wants their loved one that has cancer or whatever to try something natural.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the rest of the family, I mean, I had one case where the mother actually told, or the daughter actually told the mother, if you love me, you'll do chemotherapy, and she's almost dead now.
Mm-hmm.
And these kinds of things go on, and dramas start to break out within the family.
Uh-huh.
And what I always tell people is you have to just let it go,
mm-hmm.
you know, because otherwise it's going to make you sick. And this is true. If you have a toxic relationship at work or in a relationship, a personal relationship,
right.
or whatever the case may be, you have to let that go, and you have to let people evolve at their own pace.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in doing that, I think we have to always take care of number one, and that is who we are. A lot of people get pulled into, quote-unquote, helping other people, but at the expense of not going in and finding their own core. Okay? And in my own personal life, I have had to let go of several family members for my own growth.
Yes.
Okay? And then it just had to be done, and I was guided to do it. And it's okay now. It doesn't hurt. I realize that this is what I was guided to do for my own journey. We each came here, and we have our journey. And it's great to help people. I try to do that whenever I can, but not at the expense of sacrificing my path.
Exactly.
If I jump off my path to help you, then I've lost my path.
Or your health. I mean,
everything.
Exactly. I totally uh-huh. agree with you. And there's a lot of people confronting issues like that have people in their families that are trying to control them in whatever
uh-huh.
way.
Uh-huh.
And it's very hard when that's happening, because it definitely stifles your very spirit.
Well, I think for me it was a lesson to show me to say goodbye,
mm-hmm.
Cut the strings, and move on. And it's a very hard thing to do. I met a man, he's a friend of mine, he's an artist, and we were at an art gallery, and he said, so Granny, how's your daughter? Wasn't that your daughter with you at the market? I said, no, that was Lori, but I had to let her go. She's no longer in my life. He said, oh, okay. He said, well, I met your daughter up at the herb stop. Shop. He said, how's she doing? I said, I don't know. I had to let her go. He said, geez, Granny, you're letting a lot of people go. I said, yeah, but I'm holding on to me.
Exactly.
Okay. So, and the more people that I let go, and it doesn't happen a lot, they vibrate in, they vibrate out, I watch it. But then new people are always coming, and we share such awesome adventures.
Exactly.
And this is the greatest time in my life. I am happier and more joyous now than I've ever been.
Well, I can just picture you, Granny, out in the field, laying down amongst the flowers and the weeds, and just looking up at the sky and meditating. And
mm-hmm.
One thing I want to make sure to get to, because unfortunately, since you're from Pennsylvania and your book is kind of geared towards weeds in Pennsylvania,
uh-huh.
and unfortunately we don't have grannies in all 50 states, so how can somebody go out into their local habitat and know what's safe to eat? That's a very important thing to know.
Well, here's what I did. Number one, wherever you live, maybe you can get a book for that particular area. And
how would you get that book? What would you look for in the library?
Well, I'll tell you, I think Stephen Foster wrote some books for particular areas.
Okay.
I don't have that. I have a lot of herb books with a lot of pictures. And if there's here's what I used to do. I'd see a weed, and it would call to me, so I'd pick it, I'd take it home, and I'd start looking on the Internet for pictures.
Oh.
And I would punch in Pennsylvania, small weed white flower.
Okay.
Okay, and then you get links, and you start clicking, and you'll eventually see the weed that you have.
Wow.
I mean, it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, if you have the Internet, it would be a good, because there's thousands of weeds out there, and a lot of them are not common, and they're not going to be in every book.
Right.
Okay, but a lot of you get a lot of herb books, a lot of old herb books like Culpeper and East of Eden. They go way back.
Mm-hmm.
And you just read and you study and you go on and you gather and you look and you talk and you ask questions, you know?
Okay.
And you'll find out. You'll be guided to the answer.
Okay, I think we have a caller on the line. Is that correct? Do we have a caller?
Yes.
Okay, please speak up. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, I'm from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I just wanted to call in and thank both you and Granny Earth for giving your messages tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I find you a great inspiration to me.
Mm-hmm.
I know Granny Earth, actually. I met her not long ago, and she's helped me tremendously in learning how to be grateful for what I have in my life today.
What's your first name?
Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful, honey. Thank you for calling.
I don't want to take up your time because I know you have a lot to say, but I just want to thank both of you and how grateful I am that you both are here tonight.
Well, you're very welcome, and I just got a chill as you're saying that because that name is so perfect for you, Granny, and your logo, Granny Earth, where you have the earth below your name.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, everybody needs a grandma to give them a hug,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
that's
I just picture
true.
You out there just giving people hugs,
mm-hmm.
even if not physically, but just with your message and with your natural healing abilities. It's just
mm-hmm.
so beautiful.
Well, it's a wonderful journey, and I am so grateful. Like I said, I've never had so many wonderful people in my life. And, yes, it is about supporting and smiling and hugging and helping each other along this tough pathway.
Yes.
Yes.
How true.
It can be muddy sometimes.
Yes, but there's beauty everywhere if you look for it. And it's hard in my line of work because, you know, What's Ailing America, I'm talking about different things every week,
mm-hmm.
and some of them are pretty ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and it's important to shine a light on that. I had a real battle within my sphere for a long time because there's a lot of people that say, you know, you add energy to the negativity if you talk about it.
Uh-huh.
I don't buy that line.
Uh-huh.
I feel you have to shine a light on it,
uh-huh.
but it's not like you become obsessed with it. I've gotten over that point where I'm obsessed with it.
Uh-huh.
I know that even the dark ones are fulfilling their mission,
mm.
you know, and
mm.
they're actually making the light showers to be more obvious because
right.
the darkness is everywhere. And
mm-hmm.
when people see, especially somebody like you, who leads such a humble life and who's outside picking weeds to
mm-hmm.
eat and making all these beautiful recipes
mm-hmm.
that you have in your book, Granny's Cupboard, and being so happy, it doesn't matter how many toys they have, how many bank accounts, how
mm-hmm.
many mansions. You know, I'm sure eventually they're going to start to say, you can't buy happiness like Granny Earth has with money.
Well, you know, I had a photographer, an appointment with a photographer yesterday morning. She wanted to take my picture. They're going to do some kind of an article in some magazine or something. And I slept in, and I was running late, and she called, and she said, well, actually, I want to come to your place. And I said, I don't have a place.
You don't have a place?
No. I don't have a home. You would think Granny Earth had a yard and a garden. 4 years ago, I lost my house. I became very ill, and I lost my mind, and I had a homeless adventure, which is all in the book. And so I ended up in this, what I call, brick box. But you know what this did? I still make my things. I still wildcraft, and now I write.
I didn't know you were still there.
I'm still here.
Wow.
And the universe, when it's time, will provide me the place. Okay, when it's time. If it's time.
Right.
Yeah. So that's another surrender thing, except where I'm at. I didn't like it, but it's where I'm at. It's safe, it's warm, it's cool, it's cheap. It enables me to be who I am. I just don't have, like you'd picture Granny out in her garden. Well, maybe someday again.
Wow.
Yeah. But my garden now seems to be expanding into, and the flowers, the flowers are the people that come into my life, see?
Oh, my God, that is so amazing.
It's like Tracy, we only really met once, but we emailed back, and she's got a fabulous story, too. And so maybe my garden isn't a place. Maybe my garden is a space.
Mm-hmm. I think
right?
so.
With beautiful
yeah.
souls who are the flowers and the weeds.
Oh, you make me feel so good, Granny.
I had no idea. Here you are publishing books.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my God, that is so amazing.
Well, I guess it's a spirit I, thank God, I have of never giving up.
I guess so.
Right? I mean, when I had my homeless adventure, it was quite interesting, but you know, Rebecca, it was the exact lesson I needed to force me into total surrender.
Yeah.
And it was what I did, total surrender, and then, of course, when I surrender, the universe moves.
Well, I can totally relate to that because my lesson along those lines was when I lost my only child, who I wanted desperately,
mm-hmm.
who I tried for so long to get pregnant in the first place. And when I lost him, when the court stole him from me, I really thought I was going to die. And
yes.
and it, as it turns out, that's what put me in that same position. And
right.
I can remember when that happened, being on the floor in my bathroom and really wishing, you know, God would take me, saying,
uh-huh.
I can't survive this. Why? How could this happen to me? I always
uh-huh.
try to do the right thing. And I felt the answer in my heart, and the answer was because you have, you know, something to do. You, this is how evil the world is, and you're going to help shine a light on what's going on.
Mm.
And so I've always known that that was what I was supposed to do in terms of what my profession is doing,
mm-hmm.
making people sick. I mean, it, like I read one of those quotes that you had in your book, if you don't have your health, you have nothing.
Exactly.
And so helping people get their health back, that is such a gift.
Well, it, like you said, it's our mission. And
yes.
And it's like when I bought this new van, new to me, and 10 days later the transmission went, well, I didn't have the money. It was a long story how that unfolded. Here I am 9 days without a vehicle. And the big lesson, I had to learn how to ask for help. And then a voice, not an audible voice, but a knowing came to me, and here's what it said. Write the book.
Wow.
And so I got started on the journey in putting down everything that had happened. So, yes, everything happens exactly how it's supposed to. And if we don't resist, we'll be guided easier along.
Wow.
Yeah, so amazing. So simple. I think it's so simple that most humans miss it.
Well, I forget who said this. I remember now. It was on one of Carolyn Mice's tapes. She wrote the book Anatomy of the Spirit. She's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, I have that, yeah.
Yes, and she said something to the effect of, you know, God, when we make plans, you know, God laughs. You know, it's,
yeah.
like, it's not to say that you don't have a plan for your life, but you can't be rigid within that plan because there's going to be all kinds of little adventures you're going to have off to the side. And if you surrender to those adventures, even if they're not fun,
uh-huh.
and say, okay, why am I here? What do I have to learn from that?
Right.
I had one of those adventures recently in Florida, and it almost killed me. It was a very disturbing series of events that happened, and
uh-huh.
It took me a long time to recover from that. But now I realize why that happened and why I had to go through that. And it's made me even more determined to continue to do what I have to do.
Exactly. I know just what you're talking about. And so I think as we travel along, we begin to understand more and more that, okay, something happens and it doesn't feel good, it doesn't seem good, but you know what? It's part of the plan, and it'll pass.
Yeah.
And we're still here.
Exactly.
And we're still sharing and teaching and just get still and go within. I wanted to read you a quote from Rumi. Do you know Rumi?
No, I don't.
Rumi, and I can't say who he was, I forget, but I have a book and it always quotes, and here's what Rumi said. What is the body? The body is that shadow of a shadow which somehow contains the entire universe.
Wow.
Powerful. I love quotes, as you can tell.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're very powerful.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm looking at the book here, Weed Medicine. And by the way, she has Weed stands for Wisdom of Edible Earthly Domain. I love that.
Thank you.
On page 11, you have a little statement here. It's, the time has come to protect ourselves from white man's medicine. and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of my dark nights of the soul when I had to face what my profession was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But to know you know, like you said, not only are there things out there that we can do right now in our backyard and in our local, you know, forests or whatever that we can take for ourselves to get better and feel better, but to know that the information is within and that anything can be reversed. I always tell people, as long as you're still breathing, there's always hope. The most important thing for people to know is that their body has the ability to heal itself. If they can get to that point, they will heal themselves.
Exactly.
Yes.
And it's so simple. And I give examples in this new book, but it's so simple. And I was very surprised. I didn't expect it. I just allowed it and went in and kept allowing and kept breathing. And then it, capital I, showed me.
Yeah.
And it has been showing me ever since.
And actually, I just realized that it is also showing you when you're going out gathering your different flowers and herbs and leaves. Obviously, it, and I'll call that the spirit within, is making you be drawn to whatever you need to be drawn to. Because actually, the time goes so fast, we only have about 10 minutes left. One of the things I wanted to ask you about also, because sometimes when I'm going for walks with my little sweetie pie, my little puppy, I like to just taste different leaves and stuff. I'm kind of, you know, brave in that way. And sometimes you wonder, you know, how do you know if it's bad for you? So I guess I just answered my own question. If you're drawn to it, you're drawn to it for a reason. It's not like any particular thing that if you ate it, it was bad, has some kind of a sign that would tell you that.
The good test, and I forget what page it is in on the book, that, and I recommend to experiment, don't just take any weed and eat it or take a lot of it. Test it a little bit. Take a little bite or rub a little bit on your skin and see what happens. And, of course, do your research, but there's a few weeds that are poisonous. One would be poison hemlock, which looks pretty much like a few other herbs. It has a big white flower on it. Well, I was thrilled one year when I found it, and I sort of kidded about this, and I don't know if it's still a joke or not, and I gathered all this poison hemlock up. This is the one that, what, killed Socrates, I think. Poison hemlock. And I was amazed, and I save it, and I have it. And people say, why do you have that? Well, I kind of kid, because when, if and when they come to get me, I'm not going with them. But I haven't put that formula together yet. But so poison hemlock's out there, and it but it has some red on the stem, and I think that's a warning sign.
Okay.
But it's good to have your books and to look and know what you're eating. Okay. I just think that's a natural thing to do.
And there's so many ways these herbs can be used, as you explain in your book. You can make oils out of them. You can use them topically. You can make teas. You can make soups. You can cook them like greens.
And you can juice them. And if you don't like the taste, maybe some people don't care for dandelion. It gets kind of bitter in the summer. Well, throw it in your juicer.
Yeah,
throw it in a blender with some good water and blend it up and drink it.
I remember when I was a kid, my grandmother used to make dandelion wine.
Right.
Did you ever hear that?
I tried making it once with the blossoms, but I didn't know. I'm not a good winemaker, I guess.
I don't know how she made it. I just remember that. I just thought that was so funny.
Right. Well, we can use them. I think there's a weed here for everything that humans need. Everything. If you need to relax, you need energy, you're depressed, I put together a formula that cured my depression back in 2001.
Wow.
Cured it overnight, and herbs don't, weeds don't usually work overnight, but for me it did. And so now there's a couple people.
Wait, that's very important. Can you remember the combination of weeds that you use?
Yeah, you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Okay, the main one, St. John's wort, of course.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Let me see if I have a bottle here so I can read right off of it. I don't. I have them all packed up. But, yeah, hold on a second. Oh, I can't remember, but I will try to remember.
Okay. Actually, I'm looking at the book as we're talking, and I'm surprised to see cayenne used as a, listed as a weed. I mean, anybody that's involved in natural health knows about the benefits of cayenne. Cayenne's probably one of the most wonderful things that you can take, but I didn't realize it was a weed.
Well, you know what? Now, listen, I threw a few in there. The cayenne and the garlic and the parsley, they're not weeds, but you put them in your garden.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they used to be weeds, but now they're domesticated.
Okay.
Here's what's in if you want to make a formula to cure your depression.
Okay.
St. John's wort, linden flower off the linden tree, angelica, blessed thistle, greater celandine, gutacola, licorice, marshmallow root, and of course the vodka, the glycerin, and the distilled water. Make a tincture.
Wow.
And you're hitting the adrenals, you're hitting the liver, you're hitting the kidneys. And St. John's wort is very antiviral. And my research years ago told me that depression can be caused by a virus like the Borno virus way back in the 1800s. And so it makes me understand why St. John's wort works for depression.
Wow.
And God only knows how mutated everything is within us from all the vaccinations, right?
Exactly.
Oh, my, yeah.
Yes, and you've got all kinds of wonderful information in here, as well as in the other articles that you sent me about vaccinations. I was amazed. I didn't know you were just like me in that realm, that you've been researching this for years.
Well, ever since they wanted to expel my granddaughter from 10th grade because her mother wouldn't get her the MMR booster. And boy, we started researching this stuff, and I got into the Pennsylvania Code, and I devised the exemption form, and we wrote to this, every school board member, certified letters to school nurse, and all the radio stations, and all the TVs, and all the newspapers, and guess what? The kid didn't have to get vaccinated.
Exactly.
Yes. So you call them on their lies. They never put in, when they decide to threaten you, they never mention that there's an exemption for them. Isn't that hysterical?
Well, it's very evil, actually. And even if there wasn't an exemption form, I mean,
right,
in all states there is a way to get an exemption. All states have a religious exemption.
Uh-huh.
Although, as you'll see if you go on my website, the AMA is trying to put an end to that.
Yeah.
Some states have philosophical exemptions. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's medical exemptions, but they take away the license of any medical doctor that writes them.
Interesting.
But the new idea that I came up with, and what I teach my clients I would do if I was you, is to write them a letter that you will, if they're going to push the issue, you will get your child inoculated with disease as long as they will sign an affidavit and make themselves bonded to cover the damage or possible death, any legal or medical consequences of the child being inoculated. And guess what? They just leave you alone after you.
Oh, my God. Do you have those words on your website?
No, actually, I don't, but I'll be happy to send it to you.
Yes, I love that.
Okay.
Sure, because that's putting it back on the doctor, isn't it?
Well, on the doctor, the school nurse, the principal.
Right.
Because, see, what people don't know is that 90% of the children are not inoculated, the schools don't get federal funding.
Bingo.
So this is the reason the schools are pushing it.
Right.
And the sick joke of it all is that the inoculations are what's causing the autism, the learning disabilities, the ADD. So you have to sacrifice your child's brain in order to get them into public school.
Yes. Evil upon evil.
Exactly. So that they can learn. They can learn about all these crazy things they're learning about in school.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that one of my listeners sent me many years ago, it was a show done on one of the mainstream media shows, 2020 or something, where they were actually taking the junior high schoolers into the schools or into mortuaries. They called it death education. They were teaching them what dead people looks like and having them touch the dead people. And after they got done, they had them go back to the class and write their suicide note. What would you write if you were going to commit suicide?
Oh, my.
Yes. And that was in Columbine, Colorado, actually, that occurred before the Columbine massacre.
Isn't that interesting?
So it never ends. The powers that be, that's one thing that people have to understand. People of consciousness can't even comprehend evil. As immense as we're dealing with it. And that's what I tell people. Evil is so evil will be evil even to its own.
That's right.
And once you comprehend that there is this dark force out there,
mm-hmm.
then you have to realize it's time to educate yourself, not to be filled with fear,
mm-hmm.
but to educate yourself and to protect you and your loved ones.
Exactly. And I know we probably only have a couple minutes, right?
Yes, actually, we're pretty much out of time at this point. But
okay.
Go ahead,
it's a spiritual battle between evil and light.
That's what it is.
And if we shine a knife light, evil will disperse.
Exactly.
Somehow or another.
Granny, I am sending you such a big hug through the airwaves. God bless you for what you're doing.
Thank you, dear.
It's such a pleasure
mm-hmm.
to have you on the show, and I know that we're going to be in touch from here on.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks again. Okay,
bye-bye.
And tune in next week, folks. We're going to have a show on What's Ailing America, Religious Dogma. That should be interesting. So stay tuned for Andra's show, An Hour with Andra. Have a good evening, and God bless you all. Good night.